is Find Your Dream Job, the podcast that helps you get hired, have the career you want, and make a difference in life. I'm your host, Mac Pritchard. I'm also the founder of Mac's List. It's a job board in the Pacific Northwest that helps you find a fulfilling career. One of the best ways to get good at job hunting is to talk to people who do it well. That's why once a month, I interview a Mac's List reader who found a job they love. Our guest today is Natalie Roger. She's the Recruitment and People Ops Manager at Truvada. It's a data-driven enterprise fintech platform headquartered in Solana Beach, California. Natalie Roger believes in the power of visibility. In a story you can find on the Mac's List website, Natalie encourages job seekers to pay attention to your LinkedIn profile and other online platforms. She also says you should apply for jobs even when you don't have all the qualifications. Why do you love your job, Natalie?
So I love my job for so many different reasons. I really feel like this job, you know, at Truvada kind of checks all the boxes for me. And, you know, those boxes are anything from a great culture, great leadership team, you know, feeling like I have a purpose, you know, really good benefits, good comp plan. I love working from home. I just feel like they kind of, you know, check all the boxes for me.
And tell us a little bit about Truvada and what it does.
Yeah, so we're essentially, and like you said, like we're essentially a fintech company. We are based out of Solana Beach. We have about 99 employees right now, and we've been around for a little over 6 years. And so essentially we're a cash management platform, for individuals and businesses. And it basically just helps them manage all of their cash, whether they're, you know, bringing income in from a bunch of different places. It helps, manage everything kind of in one spot.
Terrific. Now let's talk about your job search, Natalie. What was the biggest challenge you faced?
I think just coming out of the height of COVID, you know, that obviously shifted a lot of things within like my specialty, you know, working for startup fintech companies. Companies like that tend to go through a lot of layoffs. There's a lot of like ebbs and flows, you know, with the market. And COVID just really, you know, shifted a lot of things. I think some companies were equipped for remote work and some, you know, just weren't there yet. So I think that alone really limited, you know, job opportunities. And then for me, especially as a recruiter, you know, if a lot of companies are having hiring freezes and not hiring, then, you know, I don't really have a job at that point. Fortunately, I do a little bit of like people ops, HR on the side. So I kind of can fall back on that too. But yeah, I think for me, just COVID was really hard. You know, with so many different aspects. I even took a job for a year working at the hospital because that was one of the few jobs I could find kind of during that time. And around that time, I also moved from New York back over to Bend, Oregon. And so, you know, it's a lot smaller here. Jobs are really limited. And so I think I was really focused on finding, you know, a job where I could work from home. And fortunately, that's what happened.
You were finalists for another job when Truvada contacted you. How did you manage those two hiring processes at the same time, Natalie?
Yeah, so the first job that reached out to me, actually, they were based out of Portland. And it was recruiting, but it was kind of a different area of recruiting that I had done. It was more of working at an agency for, you know, recruiting for several different companies rather than internal recruiting. And that process took a couple weeks. I had a few different phone calls. I think I even did like a take home assignment type of thing. And I was getting ready, you know, to sign. I felt like we were approaching the end of the process. And then, my boss, Madeline, she reached out to me actually over LinkedIn and kind of just gave me the gist of, you know, what the company was, the position that they're looking for. I loved that it was a first-time position. I've had that in the past, and I think it's so fun to, you know, build your own process and kind of start from the ground up. I love that process and, you know, kind of getting them up and running. And at the same time, I was thinking like, okay, there's no way I'm going to have time to go through this interview process. Like sometimes it can take, you know, weeks. I've even been in some that took about a month. So I just figured it, I was like, this sounds great, but I don't think it's going to work. I don't want to put all my eggs in one basket and lose this other opportunity kind of thing. So I just told her, I said, hey, like, this sounds really great, but I'm in final round somewhere else. Unless we can somehow cruise through this in 2 days, I just don't think it's going to work. And she was like, yeah, yeah, like we can definitely do that. So I talked to her and I loved how just like down to earth and how excited she was about her job. She had actually just started there as well. So she was there 3 months before I was. But she just, you could just tell it was genuine. Like she was really excited about the mission of the company, about what they were doing. She was really excited about my background. So that made me feel really good. Like it was just a really good match. And then from there, she set me up on a few more, interviews with folks from the leadership team. So our head of technology, I spoke with our head of finance, I spoke with, and then our CEO. He was the last round and yeah, we somehow got through all of those, within 2 days. And after that time, they made me the offer.
2 days is fast. And you'd been in conversation with the other company for a period of time. How did you know it was the right offer? I mean, that 48 hours is, to collect all that information, meet all those people and make a decision. How did you know that was the right direction for you?
Yeah. I always compare, I guess, job offers to the job I had in New York because I liked it so much. And I felt like this was really similar, only better actually in some ways. Like, I loved the leadership team. I loved the direction that they were going and how, you know, intelligent and down to earth everybody was. But I also loved how, you know, I was going to be a one-person team again. I was going to be able to have a lot more responsibility and a lot more freedom and creativity to kind of make the role my own. And then having a mentor also like Madeline was really important to me. I didn't really have that at my last job. And then the other position, it seemed like it was a little bit more sales focused. And so I loved how this one allowed me to have, you know, more creativity and job freedom. And I feel like we have a really strong work-life balance. So I love like, you know, that aspect of the company.
How did you communicate your decision to the other company?
I think what made it a little bit easier is that the offer hadn't come yet. So I hadn't really promised anything yet. So I just told them, hey, I got this other offer. I think it's a really good fit and, you know, I'm going to go with it. And I figured, you know, if they wanted to, you know, kind of go back and forth about it, like we could do that, but they just, you know, were super happy for me. They all congratulated me, everybody there that I had met with. So I felt like I made a good decision. I felt really good about it.
You mentioned in your article for us that you got your job at Truvada via LinkedIn. Your current boss reached out to you through the platform. But you also mentioned that you've gotten jobs in the past through referrals. Tell us more about this, Natalie, about the importance of referrals when you've looked for work in your career.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think for me, I always make it a point to stay in touch with people that I worked with in the past. You never know when it's going to come back around, especially like working and living in New York. It's actually a really small community. There's a lot of overlap with companies there when you're in the same industry. And so I've always and just using people for references and then helping them out if I can, you know, following people on LinkedIn. People are always posting about different jobs and different things that they're looking for. So for me, I've always just made it a point to, and being a recruiter, like I have a lot of, you know, a big network on LinkedIn because it's part of the job. But yeah, I've just always made it a point to stay in touch with people I've worked with. I've gotten so many reach outs, like if I've gone through a layoff or something, just people being like, hey, I think we might have something for you. I'll send in a referral. And I think a lot of companies prioritize that. You know, they think, oh, wow, if we have this, you know, really great employee and they're recommending this person or they're vouching for them or have worked with them in the past, I think we should, you know, look at this person first. And this job, actually, I did not have a referral for, but my previous job I did.
What's your best advice for a listener who wants to generate those kinds of referrals? What's your number one tip for doing that?
Yeah, I think just making it a point to try and get to know people in your organization. I think, you know, in HR and recruiting, it's easier because you kind of touch all the different departments. It's kind of easier to meet people, but I think it just going out of your way, you know, introducing yourself, even if you work in a different department, just putting yourself out there. I know like people oftentimes will post on LinkedIn, like, hey, I just went through a layoff. And then I've always seen, you know, so many people commenting underneath like, oh, so sorry that happened. Like, you know, we might be able to find you something. And so even if it's just, even if you don't know the people, you can still just add people on LinkedIn. Maybe their story looks interesting or they have an interesting career path that, you know, you would like to follow or something like that.
You're a recruiter. You hire people for a living. And one of the tips in your article for us, Natalie, is to apply for jobs even if you don't have 100% of the qualifications. Why do you recommend doing this?
So I don't necessarily think you should apply for a job that you have zero qualifications for, but, you know, sometimes you're able to tailor your resume, like, or really just highlight an area that you know that they're looking for. Or if it's something that you can maybe learn, you know, in the meantime, and it's not something like so crazy, like engineering or something like that, but maybe it's like, oh, I can spruce up my Excel skills, or I can, you know, learn this new skill, that sort of thing. I think you shouldn't be like deterred away from a job just because you're missing like one little thing. I think a lot of times, you know, job descriptions are just like a wish list. But by the time you find the right person, a lot of times that can change. Maybe they bring more to the table than you thought you were looking for, or, you know, maybe they don't really have a qualification, but it's not needed that much, or it's something that they can learn. You know, there's no perfect candidate ever. Like, there could be someone that's, you know, really, really great, but maybe they're not like the perfect candidate. And I think you should still apply. It doesn't hurt to check. I've even applied for jobs where they'll get back to me and they'll say, hey, this might not be the perfect fit, but we actually have something else for you that might be better. So it never hurts to just put yourself out there.
Do you have a rule of thumb for listeners about the percentage of qualifications you should have, at least at a minimum?
Yeah, I think, you know, if a company says, hey, we're looking for at least 4 years of recruitment and you only have 4 months, like, it's probably not worth applying. You know, I would probably apply for something that maybe had like, you know, a lower amount of time of qualifications or something like that, where it's like super obvious. But if it's like, you know, if there's some nice to haves and they're like, oh, you had to have used this very specific program, but maybe you used a similar one and you can probably easily figure it out. I think like in those cases, you should still apply, because those things aren't as mandatory, I think.
Well, finally, Natalie, what's your number one job hunting tip?
I would say just apply for as many things as you can. Put yourself out there, reach out to your network, reach out to your resources. You know, I hear all the time people say, oh, I applied for this job and I never heard back, so I'm just going to, you know, sit and wait, or I'm going to give up. And I think, you know, I apply to so many different jobs and a lot of people don't, you know, respond to me. So I think just put yourself out there, make sure you have a really strong resume, a really strong, you know, LinkedIn. Oftentimes recruiters will just look for keywords. And I know how, you know, LinkedIn is set up. So it's set up to kind of look at resumes in that way. So just make it like, I would just pay attention to the job description, see what kind of keywords they use, and then make sure that your resume aligns well with that job that you're looking for.
Well, thank you for sharing your story, Natalie. To learn more about Natalie Rogers' job search, visit maxlist.org/stories. And check out the MaxList website for dozens of other success stories. On the second Friday of every month, we add a new interview with a MaxList reader who has found a dream job. Go to maxlist.org/stories. In the meantime, thank you for listening to today's bonus episode of Find Your Dream Job. This show is produced by MaxList. Susan Thornton-Hoff schedules our guests and writes our newsletter. Lisa Kislenberry Anderson manages our social media. Our sound engineer is Matt Fiorillo. Ryan Morrison at Podfly Productions edits the show. Dawn Mole creates our transcripts, and our music is by Freddie Trujillo. This is Mac Pritchard. See you next week.